This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
For the second half of our show, we have Kate Room, a naturopathic physician, with us, and we're going to be talking about stress and sleep. Statistics, a Canadian Community Health Survey said that it's estimated 3.3 million Canadians over the age 15 suffer from insomnia, which can be quite debilitating and cause a whole lot of problems. Why do we tend to have such sleep problems, Kate?
Oh, sleep problems are so common. You know, I see these kinds of statistics, say 3.3 million, and that's really only 10% of the population. But if you look at other studies, it's looking more like 40% of the population either isn't getting enough sleep, isn't feeling refreshed by their sleep, feeling sleepy during the daytime due to lack of sleep, all these kinds of things. There are lots of reasons for this. Our lifestyles are a big one, of course, and more so now. Stress absolutely plays a role, and screen time has absolutely been shown to interfere with our sleep hormones, for example. So there are lots of reasons from both, lifestyle as well as, nutritional factors that affect our sleep.
Kate, how much is enough sleep, and what really goes on when we're sleeping?
Well, the right amount of sleep does vary per individual, but studies show that if you're getting less than 7 hours per night, that may have deleterious effects on your health. So in general, you want to be getting at least 7 hours per night. There are individuals that, they're wired to be getting more than that, 8 to 9 hours. But it's a good rule of thumb that if you're feeling sleepy during the daytime or you're falling asleep, say, when you watch a movie at night or as a passenger in a car, that you're not getting enough sleep. We were asking what happens to sleep. Well, now, this is something of a mystery, as a matter of fact. We don't really understand most of what happens during sleep. We know that we have different phases of sleep. So every night throughout the night, in roughly two-hour periods, we have periods of deep sleep where we restore ourselves physically, and then lighter sleep where we dream, the REM sleep, where we restore ourselves mentally and emotionally. It helps us to process memories, helps us to remember things and to forget things, which actually is more important than you might think for good reasons. And so we do know a little bit about what happens during sleep, but we also know that we suffer without sleeping, of course.
Mm-hmm. And so if we need to sleep, but when we lie down, we're still agitated or we're waking up after a few hours, what are some of the things that we could do to help us relax and fall into a good restorative sleep?
Mm-hmm. So this is the tired and wired syndrome. It's very common that at the end of a busy day, you could be exhausted. And yet when you lie down, exactly, your brain starts going, you can't fall asleep easily, or even throughout the night you may feel like you're waking every couple of hours or having a poor sleep quality. And there are a number of things. I mean, I think most people are aware of sleep hygiene, like, don't watch screens too late at night, keep your bedroom, primarily for sleeping and not watching TV and activities that will keep you awake. Sleeping in a dark room is important. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, even with those things, we can all sometimes have trouble falling asleep. And there are certain nutrients, like L-theanine from green tea, which is very calming now and relaxing to help you get to sleep. Now, I'm not recommending drinking green tea at night because that contains caffeine, which will keep you up. But you can get L-theanine either on its own or in combinations. For example, there's one called Tranquil Sleep. It combines this amino acid from green tea that is very calming. It will help relax your mind to focus if you need to during the day or to go to sleep if you need to at night. And so I really like the L-theanine for calming the brain when it's overactive like that.
Mm-hmm. What else is in that Tranquil Sleep?
A Tranquil Sleep contains two other ingredients. It contains a little bit of melatonin, which is the famous sleep hormone, of course, just in 1.5 milligrams. It's a relatively small amount, which I like because I find that people also vary widely in their response to or how much melatonin they need. And a little bit of something called 5-HTP. This is another amino acid, which helps you, it helps your body make its own melatonin and serotonin, feel-good hormone.
So it actually helps you to wake up happier as well then?
Exactly right. So the Tranquil Sleep combination of just these three natural ingredients will help you fall asleep quicker, have a deep sleep, have a balance of that deep and light sleep, and wake up feeling refreshed and not groggy or hungover.
Mm, that sounds wonderful. Dr. Kate, there's so many different melatonins on the market, and, you know, from like 1 milligram, 3 up to 10 milligrams. How do you decide when you're looking at that, at standing at a shelf like that? Why would you use 10 milligrams of melatonin?
Well, you know what? There is a huge variation. So the typical dose of melatonin would be 3 to 6 milligrams. So most people who take that amount would find that they it helps them sleep and they feel well in the morning. But I have seen people who really respond well to very small amounts, like 1 milligram of melatonin or the 1.5 that's in the Tranquil Sleep. Other individuals that I know that absolutely need the 10 milligrams or else it doesn't really work for them, I can think of one individual who, believe it or not, takes 50 milligrams of melatonin, which is normally enough to knock out a horse.
Right.
But so the point is that when it comes to melatonin, the effective dose, there's quite a wide range. Like I said, most people, 3 to 6 milligrams, but it'll be a bit of trial and error.
Okay. And is there anything else to kind of help you as far as like good sleep hygiene before bed, practicing, you know, working with the same circadian rhythms? How do you get into a good sleep routine?
Well, waking up and going to bed at the same time every day, even on the weekends, as boring as it sounds, is really important. It helps to set your internal clock. Being exposed to bright lights first thing in the morning when you wake up, turn on your lights, you know, if the sun's not shining, which it probably isn't at this time of year, then try to get some light exposure. And then the opposite is true. At the end of the day, when it's time to go to sleep, keep the lights dark and dim, and especially try to avoid screens, TV screens, cell phones, computers. They emit a blue light, which will depress your melatonin production. So those are some basic tips in terms of helping to maintain the natural circadian rhythm, especially at this time of year, which is so dark. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to try as much as possible to emulate a normal light and dark cycle for our eyes, which ultimately affects the production of sleep hormones in the brain.
Mm-hmm. And what do SAD lamps do for us this time of year?
Pardon me?
What do SAD lamps do, the bright lights to sit in front of
right.
full spectrum bright light?
That's right. So this is a wonderful way of getting that bright light first thing, especially right in the morning. And so by turning on this kind of light, it mimics or emulates the effect that sunshine would have on our brains, the pineal gland. This is the part of the brain that produces the melatonin. So it shuts that off first thing in the morning. And even having exposure to that throughout the day can help counteract some of the winter blues, seasonal affective disorder that people can suffer from in these dark days.
Mm-hmm. And you'd mentioned 5-HTP, just a little bit in Tranquil Sleep to help you sleep. But can you tell us a little bit more about 5-HTP and its benefits?
Yeah, 5-HTP is an amino acid that our body will use to make both serotonin, which is a feel-good hormone, as well as melatonin, the sleep hormone. And so for people who tend to suffer with low mood at this time of year or any time of year, 5-HTP is a natural remedy that can help elevate mood by helping you to balance the production of your own neurotransmitters. So for mood, it's typically taken in much larger doses than in the Tranquil Sleep, like 100 milligrams 3 times a day would be a common dose for that. And many people report it really helps with mood.
And you can take it anytime. It does. So at night, it's going to help you sleep, but you can take that throughout the day as well.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So that's very helpful in the sad, in the blues of the dark season.
It really is. It's a nice, safe, natural option to help with mood at this time of year or any time of year, actually.
Mm-hmm. And stress often keeps us up and keeps us gnawing on things that have happened all day. How do we deal with the stress or keep the stress levels down throughout the day so that sleep is easier in the evening?
There are a few things here. We have to remember, first of all, that stress and perception is really so important when it comes to this, because stress is not so much what happens to us as what we think about what happens to us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being aware of that, trying to keep your perspective in check. You know, the old saying, don't believe everything you think.
If you're
ruminating on things or holding that in, just being aware of your thoughts literally has been shown to help diffuse the stress that's associated with them. So that's probably the one most important tip that I can think of or come up with for that. There are also a number of, and by the way, exercise, so important, especially at this time of year, and it makes a big, big difference with mood, energy, sleep, that it's critical and something worth paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
This time of year, getting a little bit of exercise every day. And then there are also nutrients that we find in foods, sometimes in special foods, that we can also get or take in higher amounts that can make a difference to our stress response, as well as adaptogen herbs. So these are botanical medicines that help us cope with or adapt to stress by making sure our stress organs, our adrenal glands, aren't overworking and overproducing stress hormones.
Mm. Tell me, what would I feel like if I'd worn out my adrenal glands?
Oh, this is a pretty common condition that we see among working people, busy moms, you name it, students during exam time, that it's, well, some of the symptoms we already mentioned, sleep disturbances, feeling fatigue, feeling burnt out, bit of a low mood, very common with adrenal fatigue. Craving sweets or salty foods, this is very common, catching every cold and flu that goes around. These kinds of symptoms are very typical of under-functioning adrenal glands, especially mm-hmm. feeling tired in the morning, really sluggish, having a hard time getting up and going, and then feeling wired at night.
So, Dr. Kate, in your practice, what kind of products would you use or what kind of herbs would you use to really nourish the adrenal glands?
Mm-hmm. So this first class of herbs I always turn to that are tremendously helpful are the adaptogens that I mentioned earlier. These are botanical medicines that directly or indirectly help with the function of the adrenal glands. So ashwagandha, well known for thousands of years in Ayurvedic medicine as a healthy aging herb. It helps to balance cortisol levels. I really love ashwagandha. Rhodiola is another herb that will help with physical well-being, but also with emotional well-being, a little bit of a lift in the mood with rhodiola. So I really like that for improving the function of adrenal glands.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially like the adaptogen herbs together in combinations because they do slightly different things. They complement one another in their actions.
There's actually more synergy to putting all these wonderful herbs together than taking them separate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what about foods? Will our foods either help us with stress or make life more stressful?
Oh, very much so. As a matter of fact, what we eat at breakfast can really make or break our stress levels and make a difference throughout the day. So there are certain foods that with high glycemic index, in other words, foods that will make your blood sugar go up, like white flour, white sugar, these kinds of things. They'll make sure then that makes that your blood sugar will crash, and that is very stressful to the body and will cause you to produce more adrenaline and cortisol. And so avoiding those foods is important. And focusing on a little bit of protein in every meal is really stabilizing the blood sugar. You also want to have adequate amounts of fat in every meal, which is also stabilizing the blood sugar. And fiber, again, keeps your blood sugar nice and stable, which is really important with fat, fighting fat as well as fighting stress.
Okay. We're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Dr. Kate Broom.